The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the May-June issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And as we look at the front page, we see two lovely people on the cover. LSU's Angel Reese and UConn's Jordan Hawkins are NCAA champs and cousins. Then to the right of them, the cookout gonna be lit. And winning, it runs in the family. Articles that we can look for. Hey, citizens, I need your help. I got caught up putting the finishing touches on this super rad slushy truck, and now I'm going to be late for your city. No limits tournament. Can you get me to the gaming truck on time? Let's do this. Lineup, May-June, page 38, winning. It runs in the family. Cousins Angel Reese and Jordan Hawkins gave their folks a lot to cheer about during March Madness, winning a pair of titles. Page 16, Bryce Young is among the many athletes proving you don't have to be big to be special. Sometimes a player or coach has a name that's too perfect for their career. Page 18. Page 22, ever wonder what would happen if North American sports adopted promotion and relegation? Presenting the 2023 class of the Hall of Cool, led by the greatest boxer and an iron horse. Page 44. And on page 50, teen swimmer Summer McIntosh has had a busy year setting world records and learning to drive. The faves? Freeze frame, page 2. Sports cards, page 7. Hot take, page 9. Page 14, birthdays. Page 31, posters. Page 35, treehouse. What's the call? Page 56. Gain, page 57. Art gallery, page 58. And on page 60, Buzz Beamer. Freeze frame. Oh, look at this. Page 2 and 3, juggling act. Here we have March 31st, 2023, Indianapolis, Indiana. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander really had his hand full against the Pacers. The Oklahoma City star lost his shoe on a shot attempt and picked it up, ran down the court, grabbed a rebound, took a dribble, and started a fast break. Gilgeous-Alexander, who made his first All-Star team this season, finished the game with 39 points and 9 rebounds, but India came up out on top, 121-117. Next freeze frame. Is that an octopus? April 12, 2023, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Eight limbs were flailing when Byron Buxton of the Twins collided with White Sox second baseman Lynn Sosa. Fortunately, neither player was hurt. Buxton, who was trying to advance from first to second base as Sosa attempted to field a ground ball, was called out. The play ended the inning, but the Twins still won, 3-1. And who's who in sports? Page 8, line 1. Raylan Turner, UCLA Bruins forward. Her height is 5'9". She was born October 18, 2002, in her hometown, Aliso Vieja, California. With 16 seconds left in the 2022 National Championship game against North Carolina, Turner headed in a goal to tie the score at 2-2. UCLA then won in extra time. Turner, the 2020 Pac-12 Freshman of the Year, finished the season with 11 goals. Did you know? Turner became the first college athlete signed by Nike to a name, image, and likeness deal, one that includes partnering with organizations to encourage girls to participate in sports. Tyrese Haliburton, Indiana Pacers guard. His height is 6'5". His weight is 185 pounds. He was born February 29th, 2000, in his hometown, Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Halliburton made his first All-Star appearance in 2023, a season in which he averaged 20.7 points and 10.4 assists per game. On March 9th, he had 19 assists, tied for third most in franchise history, and just one turnover, while also scoring 29 points in a win over Houston. But did you know the Pacers' nickname pays homage to the Pacers' pace cars that are seen at the Indianapolis 500, but also to harness racing, which includes a class of horses called Pacers? Lilia Vu, LPGA Tour. Her height is 5'5". She was born October 14, 1997, her hometown, Fountain Valley, California. 1 year after being ranked number 148 in the world, Vu was up to 12th in April, making her the second highest ranked player from the U.S. She won her first LPGA tournament in Thailand in February, overcoming a six-stroke deficit in the final round. Vu was the top-ranked amateur in the world for 31 weeks. Did you know, though, the record for the longest time spent at number one in the world in women's golf is led by Lorena Ochoa, who led the top spot for 158 weeks all in a row. Warm-up, hot take, undisputed. A year after finishing second in MVP voting, McDavid became the sixth 150-point scorer. Connor McDavid is goated. Midway through the second period of his team's March 4 matchup with the Winnipeg Jets, Connor McDavid touched the puck on the power play for just a split second. Standing below the right circle, he redirected a pass from defenseman Evan Bouchard, ramping it off the blade of Leon Draisaitl's stick and into the net. It was an extraordinary play for anyone else. Pretty routine for Edmonton's captain. The pass also broke a record not on many people's radars. Most single-game season power play points by an Oiler, 57, set by Wayne Gretzky in 1981-1982, when he had 92 goals and 120 assists. Once the shock wore off that Gretzky didn't own a particular NHL scoring record, Mario Lemieux had 80 power point plays in 1987-98. Fans had to reflect on just how much the game has changed since the great one laced them up. But has it changed enough to rethink his place in history? Gretzky's 2,857 NHL points has been treated like Jerry Rice's 22,895 receiving yards in the NFL, a monument to a singular talent. But maybe it's also a bit like Cy Young's 511 pitching wins, a curious relic of a game so different it's almost unrecognizable. Are unbreakable records distracting us from the simple fact that McDavid is just better? When one accounts for the era in which he played, Gretzky's stats seem less daunting, and McDavid gains a foothold. According to era-adjusted stats on Hockey Reference, Gretzky's era-adjusted 1981-1982 season dropped from 212 to 156 points, already fewer than McDavid's era-adjusted pandemic-shortened 2021-158 points. Even without era adjustments, McDavid could one day be the second player to hit 2,000 points. The Athletic's Dom Lucchesin projected McDavid would have 2,237 points if he played until age 40. But Gretzky will always have the numbers behind him. So let's go to where the case for McDavid really lives. YouTube. Watch some Gretzky highlights and then watch some McDavid clips. It's like watching the same video twice, but the second time with the video quality set to HD and the speed set to 3x normal. In a typical highlight, Gretzky might glide into the offensive zone on a zigzag, spin around one defenseman, and then rip a slap shot past the goalie. McDavid doesn't have the luxury of a leisurely zone entry or a slap shot. He's been clocked entering the opponent's end at more than 25 miles per hour. By the time he's blown past multiple defenders, he has to stick handle in a phone booth to pull the goalie out just enough to sneak the puck over his shoulder. To be fair, the modern athlete will always look faster and stronger than his predecessor, and the argument cuts both ways. McDavid's shots wouldn't be so hard coming from a wooden stick. But I'm not comparing Babe Ruth to Barry Bonds here. One of Gretzky's teammates, Manny Malhotra, retired a season before McDavid debuted. In the span of one career, NHL goalies have gone from 5'10" guys standing up in the crease to 6'6" behemoths hunkered deep in the net under a mech suit of pads. The guys stopping the pucks have experienced a century of physical and technological development. And to fight back, the scores have this one guy with undeniable talent. Don't just take my word for it, though. Here's Gretzky himself on McDavid in 2016. I don't think there's any question that Connor's the best 19-year-old hockey player I've ever seen. And I saw Marc Messier. I saw Lemieux. I saw Guy Lafleur. This kid is special. There's one name he didn't include on that list of people. McDavid outclasses, for obvious reasons. But now, there's at least a case. Shows pictures here of Gretzky during his playing days. Sports Illustrated, the great Gretzky, Wayne Gretzky, best player in the NHL. And then, sports, spookiest sights in sports, Sports Illustrated for kids, Connor McDavid. NHL scary preview, good. Phenom Connor McDavid could be the NHL's next great one. And so far, so good. Aren't you glad we put him on the cover? McDavid's highlights might be prettier, but he'll never have Gretzky's flowing curls and winning smile. What's your take? Do you have a question for Skip Shoremore? A complaint? A topic he should write about in a future issue? Send your letters to Kip's Treehouse, based editor at kip.shoremore@si.com. The grid warm-up. Washington's Mystic guard, Dallas Mavericks coach Christy Tolliver, Tampa Bay's pitcher Shane Baez, New England Patriots guard Michael Onwenu. Here's a question. What's something you'd like to do in 2023? Christy Tolliver says, well, win an NBA and WNBA championship. Tampa Bay Rays pitcher Shane Baz, get better at cooking. Michael Onwenu, visit Nigeria. What movie have you seen the most times? Christy says, The Shawshank Redemption. Shane Baez says, Interstellar. And Michael Onwenu says, Rush Hour. What's your favorite snack? Apple slices with peanut butter, says Christy. Dots pretzels, says Shane. And gummy bears, says Michael. Who is the goat in your sport? Christy Tolliver says, Sue Bird. Shane Baz says, Nolan Ryan. And Michael Onwenu says, himself, Michael Onwenu. What's your favorite place in the world? Christy says, a golf course and an empty basketball court. Shane Baz says, either Tropicana Field or Tiki Island in Texas. And Michael Onwenu says, my parents' house. And finally, who's your favorite athlete outside your sport? Christy Oliver says, Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. Shane Baz says, Michael Jordan. And Michael Onwenu says, Michael Onwenu. Continuing with warm-up, future star. Hesley Rivera, hometown, Oradell, New Jersey. Her birth date is June 4, 2008. Sport, gymnastics. Hesley Rivera says she knows she can do everything in the gym, and she proved it during the tail end of her final junior season. She won gold in the all-around, floor exercise, and balance beam at the Winter Cup in February. 2 months later, in Antalya, Turkey, she added to her medal collection by winning silver in the floor exercise at the Junior Artistic World Championships. I've always dreamed of being at Worlds and at the Olympics, Hesley says. My dream is slowly coming true. It was just really fun, and I'm so grateful to be here. As they show a picture on the uneven bars. And then shows a picture on doing the floor exercise and stretching on the balance beam. Are you a sports kid? If you think you have what it takes to be a future star, have an adult submit your nomination at sportskids@si.com. Fans, Sergio Romo signs off. Maybe you've asked a Major League Baseball player for their autograph, but has a big leaguer ever asked for yours? If you attended Giants spring training in Scottsdale, Arizona this year, it might have happened to you. San Francisco signed its former fan favorite closer, Sergio Romo, to a contract this spring so the three-time champion could retire as a Giant. And whenever a kid asked for Romo's autograph in Arizona, he asked them to sign the inside of his hat in return. Then, when he appeared in the Giants preseason exhibition series against the A's back in San Francisco, he wore the special scrawled-on hat in what he knew would be his final big league appearance. The cap wasn't the only nice touch for Romo's farewell. In addition to his familiar entrance song, El Mejon, Romo exited the game after a mound visit from retired outfielder Hunter Prince, his Giants teammate for two of those World Series titles, 2012 and 2014. Romo did walk a batter after two pitch clock violations, but if anyone didn't need to worry about learning the new rules, it was Romo, who knew this appearance was a victory lap after appearing in 821 games over 15 years. And as he left the mound of Oracle Park for the last time, he raised an autographed hat to acknowledge the crowd. Size matters not. While it's true that scouts place great stock in an athlete's build, these players have shown you don't have to be big to be special. Bryce Young, 5'10". The quarterback has been hounded by questions about whether he is tall enough to thrive in the NFL. Well, he certainly did okay in college, winning the Heisman in 2021 and leading Alabama to a national title. Crystal Dunn, 5'1". The soccer champ and World Cup winner told ESPN, "I'm not the biggest, but that doesn't mean that I can't be the quickest or the smartest and find other ways of being successful." Muggsy Bogues, 5'3". No player in NBA history has been shorter than Bogues. Only 24 have more assists. The point guard twice averaged more than 10 dimes per game, but he was more than just a passer. In 1993-94, he averaged 10.8 points and 4.1 rebounds. Hack Wilson, 5'6". No one, not Babe Ruth, not Barry Bonds, has driven in more runs in a season than Wilson, who had 191 RBI for the Cubs in 1930. He also hit 56 homers, one of four times he led the National League. Tamika Johnson, 5'3". The 2005 WNBA Rookie of the Year was an elite point guard who won the title with the Mercury in 2009. After her playing career ended, she became a coach and is now in charge at Western Kentucky. Kyler Murray, 5'10". If Young needs someone to look up to, make that look over at, he should consider Murray, a first-round pick in baseball and football. The quarterback was the NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year in 2019. And Henri Richard, 5'7". His brother Maurice was known as the Rocket, so Henry was called the Pocket Rocket. The Hall of Famer lifted the Stanley Cup 11 times, more than any player in history. Name game, page 18 and 19. Apetronym, a person's name that is regarded as amusingly appropriate to their occupation. They're real team players. Some jerseys are iconic for the incredible feats players achieved in them. Other jerseys feature amusing name, number combos. But every once in a while, a guy named Fishman ends up playing for the Fish. The Marlins reeled in Jake Fishman last season, but the reliever's time in Miami was short. The Browns are named after Coach Paul Brown, but Jim Brown was the best player ever. After years as a Pirate King, Jeff King ended his career as a proper Royal. Tiger Johnson coached the Bengals. Bill Tiger Johnson's tenure as Bengals coach ended 5 games into the third season, but he finished his career by returning to Cincinnati in 1985 as a tight end coach, proving a Tiger never changes its stripes. Okay. Continuing with name game, born for this, many common last names, Baker, Smith, Taylor, refer to an ancestor's job. Will the descendants of today's athletes one day have names like Bob Baller? Chuck Long averaged 11 yards per completion. D-liner manned the D-line at Arkansas State. Margaret Court won 24 majors in tennis. Usain Bolt, enough said. Marina Stepanova was a hurdler. A few Russian athletes have had this name that reads like stepping over. Ice dancer Alexandra Stepanova flew above partner Ivan Bukin, but hurdler Marina Stepanova is just a step above. Iconic monikers. If your name is Ball and you're not that into sports, we feel you, though we don't really understand why you're reading. Miroslav Satin. Never played for the Devils. Miroslav Satan's surname is pronounced Sutan. Still, we can be disappointed. He played for 5 NHL teams and not one was the Devils. Had he won number 66, it'd have to be retired immediately. Had he worn number 66, it would have to be retired immediately. Lance Armstrong had yoked legs. Candlestick Park was notoriously windy. Is Utah really known for its jazz? Champ Bailey never won a Super Bowl. Pete Bowler was a batsman in cricket. Greg Little is 6'5" and weighs 322 pounds. NHL defenseman Cal Foote wears a size 16 shoe. Trey Murphy III led the Pelicans in 3-point percentage this season. Grant Balfour had the most walks in the Rays bullpen in 2014. Larry Steele paced the NBA in steals in 1973 to 1974. Page 22 and 23. What if North America had promotion and relegation? I've imagined some pretty far-fetched scenarios in this space. The New York Mets buying the Tampa Bay Rays. The Earth maintaining its prehistoric geography, Michael Jordan sticking with baseball. No alternate history or science fiction story is as far-fetched as this proposal, a European-style business model for a North American sports league. If you don't follow soccer, you might not be acquainted with the idea of promotion and relegation. English soccer is the most famous example. The Premier League is the best league in the world. Below it exists the EFL Championship, roughly the equivalent of a Triple-A baseball. At the end of every season, the bottom three teams of the Premier League are banished to the lower league and replaced by the top teams in the championship. It's harder to imagine this system for some of us sports than others. Where would a bad NFL team go? Professional football teams don't maintain minor league affiliates. They retain the nearly good enough players to fill out their practice squads. The USFL and XFL sometimes exist as lower tier pro leagues. Certainly other organizations would love to suddenly boast the Chicago Bears. But everyone knows who the 33rd and 34th best football teams in America are, the University of Georgia and Alabama. So, bad NFL teams go back to school. Rebuilding should mean adding French classes between tackling drills. The NBA makes a little more sense. It has a 30 G League teams. Most of those teams would have to rebrand, however, before being eligible for promotion. of the Windy City Bulls, South Bay Lakers, and the Westchester Knicks all got bumped to the NBA, there might be confusion. A bigger obstacle than the NBA's jerseys, though, is who's wearing them. The financial system of the league would need a total rework. Tanking for the draft pick seems less appealing when doing so ejects the team. Best of the rest. Promotion gives second-tier leagues in European soccer much higher stakes. From the NBA, but without a draft, super teams become an even worse problem. Losing a cut of the NBA's TV and gate revenue would force teams to unload their top talent. These realities all exist in soccer, but the NBA is a league built around its arcane salary cap and its equally complicated trades. As a business, basketball is about as far from soccer as possible. To introduce promotion and relegation to North America, we need the sport with lots of lower division teams, no salary cap, and an international appeal. We need more baseball. Baseball's fans and owners have the same complaint these days, inequality. For decades, their own supporters have bemoaned that teams like the Oakland A's and Tampa Bay Rays are glorified farm teams for the Yankees and their ilk. So why not formalize the arrangement? In the soccer system, the A's could get cold hard cash for their talent via transfers. Inequality doesn't seem like such a big problem when teams have different goals. English fans in small markets get to celebrate promotion, while the teams in the big cities celebrate championships. Both have plenty to gain or lose. The all-or-nothing nature of American championships leaves more teams disappointed. Fast facts. Skylar Dickinson-Smith. For the sixth time in her nine-season career, Dickinson-Smith was named to the WNBA All-Star Game in 2022. She averaged 19.7 points and 5.5 assists per game for the Mercury and was a member of the All-WNBA first team for the fourth time. At Notre Dame, Dickinson-Smith was a two-time winner of the Nancy Lieberman Award as the country's top point guard. Well, that's all we have time for today. And for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids, be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.